What with? Carrot tried to push himself upwards, winced and fell back. What have I always told you about the Marquis of Fantailor? Said Vimes. Sorry, sir. Something bright rose from the distant forests. It vanished, and then a green light expanded into existence. A moment later came the pop of the flare. The signallers have got to the tower, said Vimes. Can't this damn thing go any faster? Said Angua. I mean, we can contact Ankh-Morpork, said Vimes. After everything, he felt curiously cheered by this. It was as if a special human howl had gone up. He wasn't floundering around loose now. He was floundering on the end of a very long line. That made all the difference. It was a small public room over a shop in Bionk, and since it belonged to everybody, it looked as though it didn't belong to anyone. There was dust in the corners, and the chairs that were currently arranged in a ragged circle had been chosen for their ability to be stacked neatly rather than sat on comfortably. Lady Margalotta smiled at the assembled vampires. She liked these meetings. The rest of the group were a pretty mixed bunch, and she wondered what their motives were. But perhaps they at least shared one conviction, that what you were made as wasn't what you had to be, or what you might become. And the trick was to start small. Suck, but don't impale. Little steps. And then you found that what you really wanted was power, and there were much politer ways of getting it. And then you realised that power was a bauble. Any thug had power. The true prize was control. Lord Vetinari knew that. When heavy weights were balanced on the scales, the trick was to know where to place your thumb. And all control started with self. She stood up. They watched her with slightly worried yet friendly faces. My name, in the short form, is Lady Margarota Amaya Katharina Assumpta Krasina von Uberwald, and I am a vampire. They chorused, Hello, Lady Margalotta Amaya Katharina Assumpta Krasina von Uberwald. It has been almost 4 years now, said Lady Margalotta, and I am still taking one night at a time. One neck would always be one too many, but there are compensations. There were no guards on the gate of Bionk, but there was a cluster of dwarfs outside the embassy as the sleigh slid to a halt. The wolves in the traces jerked nervously and whined at Angua. I'll have to let them go, she said, getting out. They've only come this far because they're frightened of me. Vimes wasn't surprised. At the moment, anything would be frightened of Angua. Even so, a squad of dwarfs was hurrying to the sledge. It had taken them a few seconds to get a grip on things, Vimes realised. There were uptown guards here, and an Igor, and a werewolf. They'd be puzzled as well as suspicious. That should give him a tiny crack to leave open. And, ashamed as he was to say it, an arrogant bastard always had the edge. He glared at the lead dwarf. What's your name? He demanded. You are under... You know the scon of stone was stolen. You what? Vimes reached round and pulled a sack out of the sleigh. Bring those torches closer, he shouted. And because he delivered the command in a tone that said there was no doubt that it had to be obeyed, it was obeyed. I've got 20 seconds, he thought, and then the magic goes away. Now, look at this, he said, lifting the thing out of the sack. Several dwarfs fell to their knees. The murmuring spread out. Another howl, another rumour. In his current state, he could see, in his mind's bloodshot eye, the towers in the night, clicking and clacking, delivering to Genua exactly the message that had been sent from Ankh-Morpork. I want to take this to the king, he said in the hushed silence. We will take it, the dwarf began, moving forward. Vimes stepped aside.
Good evening, boys,
said Detritus, standing up in the sleigh. The tortured noises the bow's springs were making under their preternatural stress sounded like some metal animal in extreme pain. The dwarf was a couple of feet away from several dozen arrow points. On the other hand, said Vimes, we could continue talking. You look like a dwarf who likes to talk. The dwarf nodded. First of all, is there any reason why the two wounded men I have here couldn't be taken inside before they die of their wounds? The bow twitched into Tritus's hands. The dwarf nodded. They can go inside and be treated, said Vimes. The dwarf nodded again, still looking into a bundle of arrows bigger than his head. Capital. See how we get on when we simply talk? And now I suggest that you arrest me.
You want me to arrest you?